I hope you all had a great lunch, and I hope that God has blessed you so far. What do you see when you look at me? Do you see what people say should be there, or what God has allowed to remain? 2 Corinthians 4:7 through 10. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Paul here is speaking of the treasure of the gospel, but notice that the container that God uses is never perfect. Several years ago, I didn't believe in anything anymore. I didn't choose to believe in anything anymore. I didn't want to be here. I planned my own escape. I thought life was not worth living. I'm thankful that God had other ideas. Notice how I say other ideas. And it was through a series of dreams in color that some Seahawk guys that I knew and some athletes with disabilities spoke to me, including Jean Driscoll, 8-time winner of the women's wheelchair division at the Boston Marathon. I one night saw her crossing the finish line in color. And then several weeks after that, God said to me, "What are you going to do?" And see, I had to choose. Was I going to believe what man said about people with disabilities, or was I going to believe what God said about people with disabilities? It's a choice. We all have to make it. Let's look at that. Let's think about this. If we're all made in God's image, Genesis 1:26, that includes people with disabilities. And let's look at this. The question up on the screen, how does it relate to apologetics? 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to give to every man an answer for the hope that lies within us. The only way that's not going to happen for people with disabilities is if you consider them not to be a person. But let's think about what God says about that. Let me tell you one quick story. Carl and I had a similar conversation like the one I'm having with you today. He came into one of our discipleship classes one night on a Wednesday and asked me, "Hey, Rich, I need a wheelchair for my mom. I don't know exactly what to do this. Can you hook me up, man? I know you got that hot rod that you roll around in, but I need to get something going for my mom. You know, not a hot rod, but something that does get from point A to point B. So can you hook me up with that, man?" And I said, "Sure." Let me ask you a question. What would Carl have done if I wasn't there? Was God working through me then? What are some of the dreams people with disabilities have? Let's take a look at one example.
Thank you. Maybe we were the people that we have expected
Now, isn't that somebody you'd like to do a lot of things with? It's not about separation. It's about coming together. Let me say it again. It's not about separation, doing things apart. It's about coming together. Because the body of Christ, we're all one. And that's certainly different than the world's view of people with disabilities. Let's talk about the first subject up on the screen, abortion. If someone was to tell you, a doctor, a specialist, your son or daughter was going to be born like me, what do you think they might tell you about that? What do you think they might offer you as an alternative? Or maybe if your son or daughter was going to be born with Down's syndrome. Let's think about that thinking for a minute. That's cultural morality, like Greg Kochel talked about in his book, Relativism, when he spoke last year. That's culture defining morality instead of God defining morality and God defining the truth about someone. We can't do that. Euthanasia is an accepted practice, an accepted idea in Europe. In Oregon, they have an assisted suicide law. Think about that. And then, on the other hand, the world looks at people with disabilities as an inspiration. Christopher Reeve, I put his name up on the screen because everybody thinks of him as Superman and thought of him as being a great crusader for stem cell research. And look what he can do in that chair. But you know what? At the same time, people were doing that. I saw him testify on television before a congressional committee. I can't live in this chair. You know why he couldn't live in that chair in his mind? He had no hope. And that goes back to 1 Peter 3:15. Give to every man an answer, a reason for the hope. The only real hope this world has that you know as a Christian. Give that person a reason. And the other thing is, the last thing on that line, on that board up there, the world has fear for people with disabilities. And some people even think that people did something in a past life or did something to cause that to happen. That's why I put up John 9, the story about the blind man. Even the disciples were deceived into believing that garbage. That's exactly what it is garbage. And Jesus said that blind man was born that way so that the power of God may be manifest in him. Now, whose words are you going to believe? Are you going to believe Jesus' words, or are you going to believe what the world says? Because the world has two different viewpoints. The Paralympics is the second largest sporting event in the world, next to the Olympics. When I covered the Paralympics in 2003 in Athens, Greece, there was almost no Christian outreach. Zero. Zip. And you know what? We think we're so open-minded here in America. We think we got it all covered with the handicapped parking spaces and all the good stuff. You know what? America was the only major country in the world that did not have live television coverage of that event. You cannot be afraid of something that you also say at the same time inspires you. That's a contradiction. That's also why I put those two verses down at the bottom of the screen. Because you cannot be afraid of something made in God's image and say you love Jesus Christ at the same time. You cannot obey two masters at the same time. God's word says you're going to love one and hate the other. You got to make a decision. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. And that's the way it goes. Let's look at God's view of people with disabilities. and God's view of life. His view better be our view. John 10:10, does it apply to everyone? I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Notice there's no qualifiers on any of that stuff. It doesn't say, well, you got to be this tall, you got to be this wide, you got to have that much hair, so on and so forth. All those qualifiers, they're all gone. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That means he knows what real life is. We're all born with a sinful nature, and it's got to be changed. John 3:3 says, unless you're born again, born from above, we're going to miss out. That includes people with disabilities. Genesis 1:26, we've already talked about it in several different contexts. All of mankind is made in God's image. It doesn't make sense to our brains, but this is the way God wanted it to be. I was knitted together this way in my mom's womb. So were you. So the purposes of God may be fulfilled. Romans 8:28 leads into what I just said. All things work together for good for those that are called according to his purpose. Now, before you become a Christian, God's going to use all things to bring you to him. I can honestly say today, I wouldn't be a Christian if it wasn't for this. Because I wouldn't have explored those questions. I would have thought I was too good for it. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Who are you going to believe? God or man? Simple. It's one choice or the other. God or man? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That means being in here too. Because if God can't help me to get from point A to point B, he's not all powerful. Then he ceases to be God. This is not a game. You either believe God or you don't. Romans 3:23 and 6:23, once again. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, what's that penalty for that sin? The wages? Death. That means that's going to happen to everybody. So people with disabilities also need to hear about Christ. Matthew 28:18-20. The Great Commission says, go into all the world, all of the nations, every place, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The whole thing. Do you think God knew that there would be people with disabilities in all the countries of the world? So that verse applies to them. See how God's view differs from the world's view? God's view is the only view with hope. So what are you afraid? What are you afraid of? That's the biggest thing I see here from people. I'm afraid. I don't know what to say. Well, Acts 1:8 says that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Samaria, in Judea, and all around the world. He's going to tell you what to say. And if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Be the person God wants you to be. Don't be the person anyone else wants you to be. What would it be like to be married and have a disability? Think about that for a second. Two people become one. Let's find out what that's like.
Thank you.
You know, sorry about that. A little technical difficulty, as we say in the business. You know, I've had a lot of conversations with Ken, and Ken has said a couple of different times, you know, the one thing that he wishes he could do is wash his wife's feet. And I thought about that for a while, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, some of us can't even stand it, be in the same room with our spouse for 5 minutes. Think about that. Some questions I'd like you to think about. And I would like you to think about them now. And I'd like you to think about them when you're alone and talking to God. What is your view of people with disabilities? We've talked about what the world thinks and how the world thinks one thing at one time and another thing at another time and another thing at another time. And we've seen what God thinks. What do you think? What type of interaction do you have with people with disabilities? These are some questions to ask yourself at this time or when you're alone with God. I was reading one of Philip Yancey's books, and I came across this quote, and I thought it was really appropriate for this subject. Who wouldn't want to give the gift of grace to anyone and everyone? It's God's riches at Christ's expense, as I learned in Carl's apologetics class and everything on Wednesday night. We talked a lot about that. Grace, unmerited favor. Who wouldn't want to give such a gift? Who wants to believe that that's only for a certain type of people? And I want to really call your attention to the second paragraph of what's up on the screen. And I'm just going to read it, and I would like you to follow along. Grace is Christianity's best gift to the world, a spiritual nova in our midst, exerting a force stronger than vengeance, stronger than racism, stronger than hate. Sadly, to a world desperate for this grace, the church sometimes presents one more form of ungrace. Too often, we more resemble the grim folks who gather to eat boiled bread than those who have just partaken of Babette's feast. Something to think about. When is the last time that we gave someone the much-needed grace that they deserved? Because in the beginning, none of us in this room, if you're a Christian, deserve that same grace. But God came down and did it for us all. Not just one, all. Remember, Jesus left the 99 for the one. Let me repeat that again. Jesus left the 99 for the one, because the one was just as important as the 99. So, how do we accomplish this mission of interacting with people who have disabilities and carry out the Great Commission and make them a part of the body of Christ so that we can be one? Now, we've got things divided up there on the screen: people in wheelchairs, the deaf community, the blind, intellectual disabilities, and developmental disabilities. We're going to kind of go through all of those all at once, and I'll just kind of point out some things. So just remember that these are basic guidelines, and I'll be able to answer questions more fully later on. So let's get right into it. But I want to keep a couple of statistics and a couple of ideas in mind here, just in case you don't know. One in 150 is the odds of a child being born with autism currently. The deaf community sees themselves as a totally separate culture because of their sign language and their interaction and all kinds of different things. So they don't even see it as a disability. They see it as a separate culture. So we must respect that and use that to our advantage. Because Jesus said, Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might win some. All things. Not just what's convenient for me. All things that I might win some. So let's dive right into this. The Ten Commandments. I can see Charlton Heston right now holding those things right up there. Speak directly rather than through a companion or sign language interpreter who may be present. Offer to shake hands when introduced. People with limited hand use or an artificial limb can usually shake hands, and offering the left hand is an acceptable alternative. Also want to throw in right here that if a person doesn't have any upper body limbs, that bowing is also an acceptable form of greeting. Number three, always identify yourself and others who may be with you conversing in a group. Remember to identify the person to whom you are speaking. That's primarily for someone who's visually impaired. I've often seen people who are visually impaired having a conversation with someone, and someone will just walk off and leave that person, and they'll continue talking. When dining with a friend, this is an addendum to what we've already talked about on number three, who has a visual disability, ask if you can describe what is on their plate. Describe what's on their plate and visualize their plate as a clock, you know, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, so on and so forth. Good little easy thing to remember there. Listen attentively when talking with people who have difficulty speaking and wait for them to finish. If necessary, ask short questions, questions that require yes or no or short answer. All right. Like with Ken and Alice, the reason we set up the video the way that we did is because you're not going to have subtitles when you're talking to, when you're meeting somebody on the street. That's really what it's like to talk with them. And since they're made in God's image, taking the time to talk to them should be no big deal. Number five, if you offer assistance, wait until that offer is accepted. Then listen to or ask for instructions. I can't tell you how many times people have just grabbed on to the back of this thing and decided to go for a ride. You know, I've often wondered sometimes, man, I must have like a sign, you know, like rides, 25 cents. Okay, number six, I got to stress this one. This is really important. I believe this is really crucial on this list. Treat adults as adults. Address people with disabilities by their first name only when extending that same courtesy to everyone else and familiarity. Never patronize people in wheelchairs by patting them on the head or the shoulder. Hey, here's another biggie. Do not lean against or hang on someone's wheelchair. Bear in mind that people with disabilities treat their chairs as extensions of their bodies. Okay? Stool. Wheelchair. Difference. Okay? Okay? Now, I know, I have a great sense of humor. That's why we're kind of going back and forth here. I mean, I think one of the best things about knowing me, man, you get great parking spots at the stadium, man. You know, you get great seats at the movies. I mean, you get to cut in line. You know, I mean, you make your own line. It's a great thing. All right, let's finish up the last part of the last one we were talking about. Extensions also are prevalent with people who have guide dogs and help dogs, such as the visually impaired or the hearing impaired. Never distract that help dog from their job. They're on a job, just like Carl's on a job today, trying to keep me under the time limit. He's watching the clock. I can tell. I know you're watching the clock, man. But see, you can't distract them from what's going from their job. So you can't pet the dog. You can't do that thing. You can't do anything that's going to take them away from their primary job. All right. Number 8. Can everybody still picture Charlton, you know, picture Moses up there on the, holding them up? Okay, good. Place yourself at eye level when speaking with someone in a wheelchair or on crutches, okay? I'm going to tell you a little something about that. That is a great thing to do, and I really, really stress that you do that. But if you have a hard time staying in that position, it's also okay to change positions and go to another spot where you can both be eye contact wise and carry on a conversation. But you know, it's going to be really hard to carry on a conversation. I'll throw this one in there because it's not on the list. Like, let's say there's a person here and a person here. Let's say Chad was here, Carl was here. I can't do this. So, got to square it up, and both people got to be in front of me, because it's too hard on the neck and too hard on the back. Okay, next, tap a person who has a hearing disability on the shoulder, or wave your hand to get his or her attention. Look directly at the person and speak clearly, slowly, and expressively to establish if the person can read your lips. If so, try to face the light source and keep hands, cigarettes, and food away from your mouth when speaking. Okay, that means no Krispy Kreme donuts and stuff going, you know, while the person's trying to pick up things here. So you want to have a one-to-one eye contact. This is all about interact. This is all about getting to know somebody. We've talked about this during the conference. You got to get to know God on a personal level. These are all things to know people with disabilities on a personal level. And I gotta point this one out. I really gotta point this one out. Never shout at a person. Just speak in a normal tone of voice. I can't count the number of times I've seen people who are deaf get shouted at by people who think it's going to help. I don't understand the logic, but I know that happens. I've seen it. But that's an attempt, I believe, to overcompensate for trying to make contact and trying to do the right thing. So that leads into the last thing on the list. Relax. Relax. I don't bite. And you know what? I haven't run over anybody in at least 6 months. Oh, maybe it was 5. But, you know, 5, 6. Who's counting? Okay, these are just some basic guidelines, guys. Okay? But, you know, with someone who has a developmental disability, speaking slowly, speaking clearly, taking time, relaxing, same kind of thing with the autism, dyslexia, trying to, things like that. People learn at different speeds. Learning disabilities, same kind of thing. This is all about patience. And what's one of the fruits of the Spirit? Patience. Since they're made in God's image, there's no reason not to be patient. Okay? As far as words like handicapped, physically challenged, all that stuff, you know what? Those words don't mean a hill of beans if you don't see them the way God sees them. You can say the right word and have the wrong thing in the mind and the heart. Okay? Give you an example of what I'm talking about that sort of relates to our subject. Mormons say they believe in Jesus Christ. No, they don't. They use the same word, just redefine the word, pour a different definition into the word. So unless we see people with disabilities like God sees them, it ain't gonna work. You can do the greatest things in the world. You can open 500,000 doors for people with disabilities. But if you don't see them the way God does, it's like filthy rags, man. Okay, let's say you want to get into some ministry here and you want to get down and you want to let the rubber hit the road and all that good stuff. Now we get down to it. You know this information, what do I do with it? What's my church to do with it? What do I want to take back to my church? Okay, well here's some ideas that God laid on me to share with you today. Ministry structure. Leader with a disability shows you mean business. Okay? If you believe in people with disabilities, you believe that God can use all things for his glory, show it. Perfect way to show it. Say, we're not afraid. That's why Carl had me come and speak today. Because he wanted God to use me to tell you the real deal. This is not a theory. This is real. Every day, this is real. From day one to year 42 now for me, I live this every day. And you know what? I wouldn't change a thing. Because there is great power in what everybody else sees as a weakness. You know why? Because you don't have to prove anything to anybody else. All you got to do is do what God wants. I don't got to prove nothing to nobody. They drained all the blood out of my body. I was born 2 months premature. Some people say, you know, like Carl said at the beginning, how could God do that, man? Fair God. It was perfectly fair. When he said I was going to die, I lived. Who you think did that? You're going to blame God for me being in this chair? Then you got to give him credit for the fact that I'm still here. You know, This all comes down to this deal. We think if God doesn't do what we want him to do, man, God doesn't exist. That's Dawkins' problem. I'll debate that guy any day of the week. Any day of the week, that guy. Write him a letter. I don't care. He doesn't believe in anything. That means he's got nothing to live for. We got to give them something to live for. You got to have a team, not a committee. Build a team with specific ideas, specific jobs. Disability Sunday event. Some of the things that we've done with Life Ministries in the past. Jean Driscoll, 8-time Boston Marathon Women's Wheelchair Division winner. Mentioned her earlier. Friend of mine. Attended one of her sports camps. Great lady. She opened up one of our Life Ministry Sundays, and we got her on the radio, KGNW, Dick Staub Show, KCMS, Cairo Radio, Cairo Sports Line, talking about her being in town. That wasn't so we could come out and have some famous person. That was so we could show the power of God, man, through all people. If God's all powerful, he can use every single one. And that's every single one of you. What I don't want you to do today is think, oh man, Rich is, man, that's really inspirational. If I'm so inspirational, I want to challenge some of you guys. How come you're not serving in your church? Are you serving in a ministry? How can you say that I'm so inspirational? Man, I wish I could do that. I wish I could be that. If I can do it, if I can serve in a ministry in this chair, and you got two good legs, you should be serving in a ministry. Like any other subject, this begins and ends at the cross. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." Disability has no power over any of us. Let me say this again. Jesus said, "It is finished" on the cross. Disability has no power over any of us. Remember when Jesus was on the cross? He could barely speak, he could barely breathe, and he could barely move. If you're going to turn your back on people with disabilities, then the very first person you got to turn your back on is Jesus himself. Who in here wants to turn their back on Jesus? And you know, let me speak to the faith guys who say you got to be, if you had enough faith, you'd be healed, man. Well, Jesus got off that cross after being in that grave for 3 days and rose again. That's what I'm waiting for. That's better than running around down here for 70 years. Eternity is a lot longer than 70 years. People who say I don't have enough faith, or people with disabilities don't have any faith, you know what my answer is? You want to trade places? I don't see Benny Hinn giving me a call. The very first person you'd have to turn your back on would be Jesus Christ. Who wants to do that in here? Consider what God has told you this hour. And make a choice. Either you're going to view people the way God does, or you're going to view people the way the world does. I hope you make the right choice, but the choice is up to you. Thank you, and God bless.